Hi, I'm Reagan, and thanks for listening to my dad's podcast, Lasting Learning.
Hey, before we jump into this episode, I've got to ask, have you signed up for the free standards-based grading webinar taking place on September 20th, 2023 at 7 p.m. Eastern Time? Right, this 90-minute webinar is perfect for those of you just wanting to get a little bit more information about what standards-based grading is. Whether you're in a school that's already adopted SBG and just need to tweak it, or if you are in a school or district that is traditional ABCs, 100-point scales, and you're looking at taking things to the next level, and you want to make sure that you know what your kids know, sign up for this 90-minute webinar, completely free, no strings attached. Just click the link in the show notes, follow me on Facebook, and click the event. Sign up. Bring some friends. Bring some family. Bring some colleagues. Bring some popcorn and your favorite drink. We'll see you there. Hi, and welcome back to Lasting Learning. This is Dave Schmidto, and this episode's going to be a little bit different. During the summer months of 2023, I'm offering some free professional learning to you. This summer, I'm going to be releasing special episodes. It's basically going to be an audiobook. I'm going to read to you my book, Bold Humility. Bold Humility was first published 5 years ago. And as a result of that 5-year anniversary, I decided to make it available to you, my listeners, this summer. Now, these recordings are not going to be evergreen. They're not going to be out there forever. They are only going to be out for a limited time. So make sure you listen, make sure you share, make sure you're willing to grow. Here we go. Bold Humility. Chapter 1, My Story. I am a disaster. I'm not an expert at anything except making mistakes. But at least I know that. I've learned so much throughout my career, but perhaps the single greatest lesson I've learned is how to recover from my imperfections. This book will not be a how-to guide, but may actually at times serve as a how-not-to guide. My hope is that through this reflective manifesto, you'll not only learn from my successes, but my failures as well. Yes, I'll be providing examples and lessons of some things that have gone right, and yes, I hope to inspire you to be the teacher and the leader your staff and students need and deserve. But I'm not perfect, not by a long shot. I'm flawed. I've made countless mistakes, and I am nowhere close to having all the answers to the questions I face in any of the roles I possess. But I also believe this is part of what adds credibility to what you'll be reading. Sometimes, the willingness to admit your weaknesses is actually your greatest strength. I believe that leaders should work to be knowable more than knowledgeable. I believe that we follow people, not positions. So who am I? What makes me tick? What are my priorities? I'm a father. I have 4 amazing kids. At the time this is being written, my oldest child is in middle school. While I'm recording this, he's actually in high school. And my youngest is about to begin pre-K, and he's in second grade. I'm a busy man, but I smile often, primarily because my kids are amazing. They are the reason that I do what I do, why I work hard, and they're the reason I try to get better every day. I'm working on improving and growing because I'm broken. Wow, am I ever. I've been on this earth for 41 years as of writing this, 45, actually, as I'm reading this, and I've spent 40 of them trying to convince everyone that I make no mistakes. I've wanted everyone to think that I'm the smartest, the funniest, the most charismatic person around. I post on social media all kinds of great clips highlighting my success. I used to think one of my responsibilities in life was to be my own personal publicist, but the only person I was fooling was myself. Everyone else already saw it. They saw right through it. People already saw all the mistakes I was making. They saw me trying to cover up my insecurities. Instead of seeing me as a man who was humble and willing to own his shortcomings, many saw me as an arrogant and unwavering person. It wasn't until recently that I realized how flawed everyone already perceived me to be, and that I finally and fully embraced my own willingness to grow. You see, for my entire life, I compared myself to other people. I always wanted to be the best person around. Best is a relative term. If I knew someone else was better than I was at anything, I simply avoided that person. If I felt I was getting close enough for someone to recognize my struggles, I pushed them away with a stiff arm. If I saw that I had strengths that were relatively stronger than others, I would jump all in to show them the cause of others to reject me. I spent the better part of my life feeling alone, not because others were not around me, but because I worked actively to live in an invented bubble. In 2008, I entered counseling. As a result of these realizations, soon after, I also started taking medication to help with some of these internal struggles. I'm now at a place where I'm not comparing myself to others. I'm working on me. I'm working to become a better version of me, a version of me who owns his strengths and works on his struggles, a me who is willing to be vulnerable as well as confident, a me who is strong enough to just be me. I'm sharing all this for several reasons. One, as a professional educator, I recognize the need to raise the next generation to compete globally, but I also recognize that we only compete globally when we create a generation of passion seekers. We must work to create kids who are comfortable in their own skin, kids who know who they are and are willing to embrace their passions to change the world. We cannot foster a system that makes kids ever feel less than, as this simply fosters the society that we have now, a society unwilling to accept feedback and a society unwilling to grow and change, a society that gravitates towards the safety of the masses as opposed to the original. If your school, classroom, or household has policies and practices that compare, sort, selects, identifies, and labels, please start the conversation on how you can begin to celebrate, embrace, and endorse instead. Kids do not need us adding to the pressures to conform. They need us to celebrate who they are. Two, how we treat our kids impacts the adults they become, but focusing on who they can become distracts us from who they are. Kids are not simply preparing for their life. They're in the midst of living their life. Just as a 41-year-old adult, I'm working to become, to improve who I am. So are 5-year-olds, 12-year-olds, and 25-year-olds, as are 70-year-olds and 90-year-olds. We must embrace who we are today to improve who we will be tomorrow. If you're a teacher, make experiences relevant for your students today. Let them embrace being a kid. When we force kids to focus on the future, the distant future, they begin to chase rainbows instead of picking the daisies. Try to never start a sentence with, "I can't wait until ... and embrace the moment. When you chase the next best thing or encourage others to do so, you're already comparing where you are to where others have arrived. Three, I know vulnerability is critical for establishing trust. If you're like me and feel the need to compete with others, stop. Embrace you. People will be more receptive to what you have to say when they know that what you have to say is genuine. A genuine person knows what they know and admits what they don't. Bold humility is the secret sauce to success. Four, if you're a teacher, your kids already see your weaknesses. If you're a leader, your followers already know your flaws. As a politician once said, you can't put lipstick on a pig. When you try to hide mistakes, you deny your ability to grow, and you make it that much more difficult for others to learn from you. When people see you as a fraud and a fake, no matter how profound your thoughts, your wisdom is already dismissed. The best teachers and leaders are often the most genuine. We'll cover each of these concepts in greater detail later in this book, but I feel it's extremely important for me to share more about me as a person and a professional to help you gain a little more context at this time. My strengths and my struggles define me. It's critical that I am open and honest about where I've been, where I'm going, and who I am today. It's this person who's trying to inspire change and growth for so many others, but it starts with me. Where it all began. Professionally, I began my career in education 19 years ago. I graduated with my bachelor's degree in December of 1999. I did some substitute teaching for a semester and then began interviewing for my first teaching job. Back then, seemingly everyone was being steered toward a career in education. Finding a teaching job was an extremely competitive endeavor, but I was lucky enough to receive job offers to be a full-time middle school teacher from two districts. One of the schools that offered me a job was the comfortable surroundings where I'd been a student teacher. While student teaching, I served as a coach for multiple sports, was an after-school tutor, and built a lot of amazing relationships. The other school that offered me a job was in a large district where I would be one of 100 new teachers being hired. I knew nobody and had never stepped foot inside any of the classrooms. It was an affluent district with a great reputation, but I had no personal connection to it. It should have been an easy decision for me, but deciding where to begin my career was difficult. There were a lot of variables to consider and wrestle with. But ultimately, I made the decision to explore the new school and to move on from the place that opened its door to me as a student teacher and to begin working in a school district that was new, wealthy, and exciting. Some of my friends and family believed I made the decision to pursue a school that presented more opportunities and a more affluent student population. Some thought I wanted a new challenge. But the truth of the matter was that as a 22-year-old right out of college, only one thing mattered to me. I accepted the annual contract that paid $500 more. I remember my starting salary to this day, $34,734. I did not look at a long-range salary or any of the long-range implications, the professional growth opportunities, the stability, or relational capacity. At that point in my life, I was willing to dismiss relationships, stability, and comfort for $500. In college, I didn't pursue education as a career because of the financial gain, but that was the deciding factor I used when deciding where to begin my career. It embarrasses me to this day that such a relatively small amount of money influenced my decision, but the reality is, it did. And the truth of the matter is, financial gain has actually impacted my decision to accept other jobs as well. This isn't necessarily a bad thing, but beginning my career by sacrificing things that were important to me, people and comfort, for $500 probably wasn't the best way to begin making adult decisions and establishing adult habits. During my first year of full-time teaching, I quickly realized that the students I was teaching were not like the students I had taught the previous year. These students came with background knowledge. Their parents had resources, and as a result, in my head, teaching was so much easier. I was rocking this teaching thing. Why did everyone say that my first year would be so difficult? I kept telling myself I had everything figured out. By Christmas of year one, I was already coming to the conclusion that I should leave the classroom and begin working as a school administrator. I just knew that I was that good. And if I was that good, I should be telling everyone else how to teach just like me. I was a cocky rookie teacher, and that arrogant attitude did not win me a lot of teacher friends early on. It took me the next 18 months to complete my master's program and to earn my credentials to be a school administrator. 2 years into my teaching career, and I believe I now had everything needed to lead others. I thought I knew everything about being a great teacher because I was one. I now even had a master's degree in educational leadership, proving that I was a leader in all things education. All I needed now was for the right job opportunity to open up. I knew I probably wouldn't be able to get a full principalship yet, but surely I wouldn't have a problem becoming an assistant principal. Who wouldn't want to hire such an amazing educator? The summer, in between my second and third years of teaching, armed with a new master's degree in my hand and all of the unwarranted confidence I could muster, I went on 16 job interviews. 16. And yes, I did say there was a third year of teaching that was to come. This not too subtle foreshadowing demonstrates that I did not become a school administrator at that point. As a matter of fact, I didn't get a single offer. I interviewed at elementary schools, middle schools, high schools, charter schools, public schools, and private schools. I did get two callbacks from superintendents during that summer. However, neither had any desire to hire me, but each in his own way wanted to sit me down and let me know that I was way too young, lacked any real experience, and really didn't know what I was getting myself into. They wanted to give me feedback they knew I needed to hear, even if I wasn't ready to listen to it. Jumping into my third year as a teacher, I was bitter. I didn't listen to the wisdom being shared with me. The nonverbal feedback presented by not getting job offers was not welcomed. I rejected it, just like I was rejected, and I was mad. In my mind, every school in the state of Michigan where I was interviewing was missing out on greatness. They didn't know how good I was and what I could deliver. As a result, I made yet another poor decision. I decided maybe teaching wasn't going to be my career. Maybe I needed more and deserved more. I began to think that maybe I was too smart for the broken down system that I saw as public education. And if I couldn't get the opportunity to fix from the inside, I would do so from the outside. I decided to begin attending law school at nights. I made the decision that I would become a lawyer who would serve as an advocate for parents who also saw the same incompetence from schools that I did and needed a voice from the inside to help them gain clarity in the change they sought. I decided I would continue to teach during the day while attending law school in the evenings. It was an ambitious plan, but one that I thought I could manage and succeed at. And I did, for exactly 1 year. In June of 2003, after attending law school for a year and finishing up my third year as a teacher, I was contacted by the director of human resources for my school district, who asked me to meet with him the following day. That meeting was perhaps the single most impactful conversation I've ever had as a professional. I remember walking into the director's large office and being told to sit down. Seated across from this man, who was 30 years my senior, I felt nervous for the first time in a long time, and that feeling did not ease up. I did not know why I was so anxious, but I remember feeling intimidated and scared. For the next 15 minutes, I was told how hard good teaching was. I was told that if I thought my job was easy, And I was obviously not as good as I thought I was. In this large district, a district of more than 5,000 teachers, the director knew who I was, knew that I had gone on a number of interviews the year before. I was earning a reputation, but it wasn't for being an up-and-coming superstar. He knew I was in law school seeking a potential career change, and he wanted to give me some advice. His advice was simple, yet profound. Is it forever changed the course of my career? Looking me directly in the eyes, he stated, quit chasing the next best thing. It's like looking for the end of a rainbow. You'll never find it. Just embrace where you are, go all in, and when you do, you'll achieve greatness. Once you've achieved greatness by chasing your passion, doors will open. You'll never be able to kick down a door that was not meant for you to open. I promise you, this is an exact quote. Time literally stood still as this conversation played out. For the first time in a long time, I was humbled. He was so right. I was so sure that I deserved a promotion that I lost sight of where I was. I had to be honest. I wasn't working hard. My students were not getting my best. We finished that meeting with an understanding and a change in direction. I was being transferred to another middle school in the district to teach and to get a fresh start. From that fresh start, I've had a passion that's been burning for 16 years with no sign of going out. And I no longer begin my sentences with, I can't wait until. I embrace where I am, when I'm there, and I go all in. In my new building, I coach 4 sports. I won Teacher of the Year as voted by the students and found myself exhausted each night after pouring my heart and soul into being the best teacher I could be. I felt the change, and my students and peers noticed the difference, so much so that at the end of my 8th year, after not going on any interviews for the previous 5 years, the school district decided to create a new administrative position for me. A new director of human resources was in place at the time. He called me up one afternoon to explain that my reputation, a new reputation, of being a dedicated and hardworking teacher had earned me a new opportunity. An opportunity that I did not seek out, but one that I was made to fill. I graciously and eagerly accepted the position, and my administrative career officially began. In that newly created position, we called it a Dean of Students position, I was able to meet with students, to cultivate relationships with parents, to lead the district's talented and gifted program, and to work with small groups of at-risk students. It was a catch-all position that taught me so much and allowed me to stroke so many of my passion flames just a little bit higher. I felt alive and fully embraced where I was. Then, just a year into serving in this position, I was contacted out of the blue by another school district nearby. I was offered the chance to come and serve as a middle school assistant principal / athletic director there, a position I eagerly accepted and grew to love as well. I was an assistant principal for 3 years and can honestly say it was the most fun I've ever had as a professional. I was able to regularly interact with kids, was able to dabble in curriculum development, and cut my teeth as a change agent. While serving in my AP AD role, I decided to go back to college again and earn my doctorate degree. While in that program, I made new connections, gained new understandings, and continued to grow as a person and a professional. 2 weeks after presenting my dissertation, I was again presented with an offer I could not refuse. I was contacted by a woman who'd been in my doctoral program cohort, asking me to come to her district where she served as a central office administrator and serve as a principal in one of her schools. Without actively pursuing jobs, I was offered my third promotion, an offer I again eagerly accepted. I served as a principal in that school in Michigan, again expanding my skill sets, learning from amazing people for 4 years. In the spring of 2015, however, I made the decision to move away from the harsh Michigan winters and to move closer to my family in Florida, where I was given the opportunity to lead a school with a history of need, a school unlike any that I had ever worked in, a school that forever changed me as a person and a professional, and the ability to reflect and nurture my soul on the beach each night. I worked in the Sunshine State for 3 years, and as of this writing, am now back up in Michigan serving as a central office administrator. My resume shows a lot of transitions. It appears as though I'm a job hunter and a career chaser, but that's not the case. In fact, the opposite's now true. I'm a man who began his career chasing the money. That's so funny to even write now, considering what a small amount it was. And then attempted to knock down walls to get what I thought was my deserved opportunity. It wasn't until I was confronted with the reality that I was so busy looking ahead that I wasn't giving my all to today that my career began to take shape. In my time as a leader, I've been named the State Administrator of the Year, the Collegiate Educator of the Year. I also serve as an adjunct professor, have had jobs literally handed to me, all because my mindset has changed. It's no longer about me. It's all about my students and my buildings and my ability to serve those who I interact with on a daily basis. I've made a lot of mistakes along the way, many of which you'll learn about if you keep reading and listening. But I hope knowing a little bit more about my story helps you understand in better context why I do what I do. This is what bold humility is all about. It's about being confident enough to work from your areas of strength, yet humble enough to admit your weaknesses. This is where trust comes from and how competence is cultivated. The truth is, I'm flawed. I've lied. I've cheated. I've let people down. The good news is I'm growing. It's a lot easier to steer when you're in motion. Know Your Core by Santiago Meza. This is my first year as a principal trying to lead a school that needs a foundation. I've been an assistant principal for 4 years, and my core foundation in education is special education as a teacher for 6 years. Building relationships has been extremely important in supporting and leading in the class with students and leading meetings with parents, teachers, and related service personnel to get each other to collaborate for one common purpose, the student. Leading as a person first is crucial before a leader can engage as a professional, because you want to build a foundation in relationships. Then you'll get people to collaborate for one purpose, a supportive system, in or out of school. In building these foundations, always look for opportunities to serve rather than be served. I often ask people throughout my day how they're doing, and if the response is ever just okay, I ask a follow-up question. What can I do to make your day great? The response most of the time is, because we don't usually ask follow-up questions. We just take what they say and move on, just an acknowledgement, nothing more. If you want people to follow you, you have to be able to serve them first. A great leader listens, supports, and invests in people by being intentional in building relationships. In building relationships, humans like to be cared for, supported, and made to feel safe. This is true for students in education, and just as true for adults in the educational system. A staff member that feels cared for by being asked how she or he is doing on a deep level will in turn care about their environment and those around them. This starts a chain reaction of inquiry about others in the school and caring deeply. A staff member that feels supported by being listened to and acknowledged will in turn support others in their environment. If they know you have their back, they'll move mountains and will exceed your expectations. A staff member that feels safe in their environment will love to come to work, be able to focus on educating students, and feel safe to explore and try new things to help students learn, educational benefit all the way around for the students, the school, and the community. When you build these relationships on a human level, people get to know you and the core that you represent. Those that know you as a person first know you will support them, engage with them, and relate to them before anything is expected. And they will seek to support you and engage with you as a person first, which then translates into professional respect. If you want people to follow you and work alongside you, you have to care deeply and genuinely. Otherwise, it's just surface care, and you'll get basic service answers and work. Bold next steps. 1. Find a colleague that you trust and ask for explicit feedback. Ask if your passions are evident. Can others see what makes you tick? 2. Update your resume and submit it to your spouse. Ask if you are unknown to him or her, would this actually highlight your strengths? 3. Can you answer, was today a good day or a bad day? What do you use as a measuring stick? That concludes this episode of Lasting Learning. Want to learn more? Contact me at schmitto.net. Want to read more or listen to more of this audio book? Just come on back. More Bold Humility will be coming soon.